a little different from the kinds of philosophers he was working with in the monastery. And so Maitri Gupta gets up and blows off all of his exams and heads on down to South India to a remote, rather wild stretch in the Indian subcontinent. And he finds a guru, finds a teacher named Mountain Man. And the teacher says, okay, Maitri Gupta, you want to learn about awakening? Go on out into the woods, find yourself a flat rock, and sit there for 7 days, and don't eat anything until you receive some kind of revelation, and then come back and tell me what it is. So Maitri Gupta goes out into the forest, sits down on the rock, and waits. He's bitten by mosquitoes, his stomach begins to rumble a little bit, but he's got enough discipline and he's gone enough of a distance to be willing to wait. Finally, near the end of his 7 days, out of the forest comes a wild huntress, a woman carrying a knife and a bow and arrow, and she's chasing a wild pig. And she shoots the pig with the bow, reaches down and slices off a big chunk of meat from its haunch, and holds it out to Maitri Gupta and says to him, here, Maitri Gupta, eat this. Eat the flesh, its emptiness. Taste the blood, it's the great bliss. And Maitri Gupta says, well, this is quite a revelatory event. I think I'll take this verse back and tell it to my teacher. And he goes back to the teacher and he has a rather complex encounter with him that leaves him feeling that he has understood something about the nature of reality that it was not accessible to him in the intellectual practice of his monastery. And he then went back to the monastery and became not just a great tantric teacher, but also quite a remarkable philosopher. He really brought both of these two traditions together. And what's striking about this story for us as interpreters of the Indian tradition is, I think, really a couple of different things. First of all, the tantric tradition, again, is concerned about direct experience, encountering reality face to face, as Buddhist meditators and practitioners had been throughout the tradition. But he encountered it here in what we have been discussing, what we've talked about, as being a radical overturning of the ordinary conventional distinctions in life, not just between male and female, not just between wrath and sense of peace or calm, but in this case, the distinction between purity and impurity. To understand Indian religion, it's actually important to try to grasp how fundamental that distinction is and how much a person like Maitri Gupta, who lived in the rarefied and rather straight-laced world of an Indian monastery, would have avoided things that were impure. Wild animals, bloody pieces of meat, and especially the people who chased after them and hunted them. To taste that flesh and to drink that blood for him was a violation of one of the most fundamental prohibitions in his monastic life. So he experienced directly an overturning of an important conventional distinction for him that led him in an experiential sense into an understanding of emptiness and then became the foundation of an important career, not just as a tantric teacher, but also as a teacher of the classical Mahayana. Now, this story suggests to us how important the teacher is in a tantric tradition. Maitri Gupta could not have had that experience if he hadn't been there with Mountain Man and had Mountain Man to help enable this process for him. Why? In a tradition where insight comes by overturning conventional distinctions and where teaching is dangerous and often secret, it's important to have a teacher to introduce you to the practice. Without a trustworthy teacher who's been through that process before, you can be a danger to yourself and to others. This teacher in Tantra is called a guru. It's a word I've used several times. It's a common word even in American English. In Tibetan, it's called a lama. And it is, in the tantric tradition, one of the foundations of Buddhist practice. You can't begin to study tantra without the intervention and the help of a teacher. We'll move on in the next lecture to talk more about tantric symbolism, but now we have, at least in place, some of the foundations of this tradition.